that out here. What's your dad?
Please the court. My name is Gregory Lay, appearing today on behalf of appellants, a class of full-time life insurance salesmen and saleswomen whose class action lawsuit was filed on April 21st, 1999, seeking relief pursuant to ERISA. Our case was certified as a class action on August 28, 2000, and subsequently dismissed on September 21 of last year because, as Judge Murphy wrote at page 3 of his September 18 order, Mr. Moreland, the named class representative, was no longer a member of the putative class when the motion for class certification was filed on March 10, 2000, as a result of his 1999 bankruptcy. Moreland's lawsuit was filed, as I said, on April 21, 99. About a month later, May 25 of 1999, Moreland filed a Chapter 7 petition in bankruptcy. When he filed that petition, on his Schedule B list of assets, he did not schedule any property interest he might have in this lawsuit. However, in July of 1999, at the Section 341 creditors hearing, the trustee asked Mr. Moreland, "Do you have any contingent interest, any lawsuits?" Moreland replied, "Yes, I'm part of this class action lawsuit," identifying this particular case. Subsequently, as page 5 of our appendix indicates, the trustee, somewhat prophetically, decided that class action lawsuits can take a long time to litigate. The benefits to the plaintiffs are in doubt. He wasn't interested in pursuing this lawsuit on behalf of the estate. He then filed a statement of abandonment with the Federal Bankruptcy Court. And on April 18th of this year, this court took judicial notice of two documents, one of them being the statement of abandonment filed by the trustee.
Well, let me see. What I don't understand, why can't the trustee, is there a trustee in bankruptcy?
Yes, there,
for Moreland?
There was.
Why wasn't he just substituted for Moreland in the class action?
Judge, this did not come to light, this issue of the bankruptcy, until after the discharge. The discharge occurred on September 21, 99. So he files a statement of abandonment in July of 99. The bankruptcy court then issues its order closing the case, the other document this court took judicial notice of last month, and discharged Moreland from bankruptcy September 21, 99. That means at that point, September 21, 99, any interest in this lawsuit had been properly abandoned and reverted back to Moreland. So the passage I just read from page 3 of the trial court's order saying that as of March 10, 2000, he wasn't a member of the class because of his bankruptcy is error. That's wrong. March 10 is a significant date because that is the date we moved for class certification. So,
at March 10th, what year?
2000, Judge.
And on March 10th, 2000, okay, that's the day you asked for class certification and the bankruptcy was already over, is that what you're saying?
Exactly right. As of September 21, 99, Moreland had been discharged. The order is before this court by way of judicial notice. So,
and then following the discharge of the bankruptcy, the second amended complaint is filed by Moreland, correct?
That's correct.
And then the motion for class certification.
Exactly right. The second amended complaint was filed in January of 2000. March 10, we move for class certification. August 28th of 2000, Judge Herndon certifies the case as a class action, names Moreland class representative. And so that's basically the background of the bankruptcy.
And the bankruptcy was over when?
September 21 of 1999. Now, I should point out the record is clear. There was a 1990 bankruptcy,
right.
But The sequence of events in the trial court was, when these issues came to light in the spring of 2000, Judge Murphy asked us to brief specifically the 1990 bankruptcy in light of this court's holding in Walters v. Edgar. We did that, and I believe persuaded the trial court that the 1990 bankruptcy was an improper basis to dismiss the case. Mm-hmm. So then the September order comes out, and the 1999 bankruptcy is the basis for the dismissal. That also is improper in light of the discharge September 21, 1999. Now, the defendants below, the appellees here, suggest that we can't win because it wasn't scheduled. It wasn't on the written schedule, his interest in this lawsuit. Therefore, there's no proper abandonment. That's incorrect. Section 554A of the Bankruptcy Code permits abandonment of assets that were not on the written schedule. The Equifax case cited by both sides in their briefs says unscheduled property may be abandoned. And in this case, that's precisely what occurred.
Well, you had the statement of abandonment by the trustee before the second bankruptcy closed, and although you didn't get any kind of court order, it was clear that there was abandonment of that claim.
That is accurate. It was certainly clear in the trustee's mind. And what we're talking about with regard to the schedule, the purpose of a schedule in bankruptcy is to give the trustee the information the trustee needs in order to evaluate what assets to assert for the creditors and which not to. The trustee had that information in July when at the creditors' hearing the trustee asked Moreland, do you have any lawsuits? He said yes. So the purpose of the requirement that an asset be scheduled was fully satisfied here. The trustee made a knowing and conscious decision to abandon this asset because he did not believe that a class action would be of benefit to the creditors.
Now, there wasn't a formal abandonment because you didn't have a court order, right?
Incorrect, Your Honor. The court order was dated September 21, 1999. It's Exhibit 4 to our reply brief and appendix, and that has been taken judicial notice of by this court last April 18, 2002.
Well, recognized as a document, but in terms of the formal procedure for abandonment, you didn't get an order from the bankruptcy judge to that effect, correct? That's what I mean.
Your Honor, if I understand what the bankruptcy requirements are, I believe we did get a formal order because the document that we submitted as tab 4 to our reply brief has two parts. One says the bankruptcy court approves the trustee's statement of abandonment, which we know is made following the examination of Moreland. The second part of that is the discharge. I believe that satisfies the procedural obligations of the code, and that is a formal statement of abandonment, although it was not scheduled. So we request that this court reverse the lower court's holding that Moreland lacked standing.
Okay, thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Mr. Lay. Mr. Kinzer?
Thank you. I'm Henry Kinzer. I represent the defendant life insurance companies. I think the facts are clear in this case. Mr. Moreland filed.
Well, the facts are clear, but now I have a simple-minded reaction. So, what's wrong with this? That when the second complaint was filed in January of 2000, no one could have owned this claim except Moreland because the bankruptcy had ended.
Well, I don't
think the trustee certainly didn't leave the bankruptcy carrying Moreland's claim with him. So,
well, the second amended complaint was in January the 18th. The bankruptcy had indeed closed in September of 1999. But the principles of the bankruptcy law are clear that once you file bankruptcy, there's trade-offs in life and there isn't a bankruptcy court. In order to get your discharge and your freedom, you have to give your assets over to the creditors. So the day you file bankruptcy, which he did a month after this case, in May of 19...
Well, let me ask you, in January of 2000, who owned this cause of action?
The bankruptcy court, the trustees, on behalf of the creditors.
The trustee is gone.
That's correct, Your Honor.
So how can he couldn't take it with him.
Well,
when he was discharged as trustee, he doesn't go off with a claim and bring another suit. I mean, that's ridiculous.
You're right.
So who does own the claim?
The creditors.
You mean that the creditors could bring a suit now?
Yes, Your Honor, and I think if I understand the bankruptcy law, and it's U.S. 11 U.S.C. 554, it says that when you file bankruptcy, every asset you have belongs to the creditors. Now, in order to get that discharge, you've got to put those on the schedules, and we've got case law to support that, and it's very logical that you have to do that. Otherwise, a debtor would simply employ the device of not putting something on the schedules and then waiting till it was discharged and then going forward with the claims, therefore having his cake and eat it too.
Well, didn't it come out in July of 99 that this lawsuit was out there? That came out in response to
the... Yes, we got a copy of the tape, and he said at the creditor's hearing, I think I'm involved in a class action of some type. End of story. But we have plenty of cases which say that you cannot abandon an unscheduled claim.
Oh, but wait a second. When you say that the discharge wasn't, that these debts weren't discharged, when a debt isn't discharged, that means that the creditors can sue the former bankrupt, can sue Moreland. We're not talking about that.
Right.
The question is, who owns this asset? And are you saying the creditors own this asset and can now bring a suit against the defendant?
Yes, Your Honor. And the way they would do that, I think, is to reopen the case. The trustee
reopen what case? And reappoint
the bankruptcy
the trustee?
Case.
Has this ever happened before?
Well, reopening a bankruptcy case.
No, I know, but has there ever been a case like this where the creditors reopen the bankruptcy to say, oh, by the way, there's an asset that somehow, I don't understand.
Well, I don't know if
it's going to work.
Pardon?
How's this going to work?
I think the creditors have to reopen the bankruptcy case, a new trustee has to be appointed, or the old trustee...
They can do that only if there's a fraud. If there's not a fraud, he, at some stage in the game, the trustee was perfectly aware of the existence of this claim, wasn't he?
Yes, he was told at the creditors' meeting, but the creditors were not told of it. The way you abandon the claim, if that was deemed to be scheduled, you've got to give notice to all the creditors that claim is going to be abandoned. The creditors have to have an opportunity to object to the abandonment, and then the way the abandonment occurs is that the court enters an order saying that it's abandoned. And that's clear.
Of course, there's no creditor complaining here.
Well, in fact, no creditor has ever been notified of this asset, and Mr. Moreland made sure that they didn't know of this asset.
What's that to you?
What is that to me?
You'll just have more people suing you, right?
Well, you have more people suing you, but I think it probably comes down to the rule of law, Your Honor, and that is these folks claim that they were done wrong by improper.
So what claims. You're doing is you're. I don't know how this is the rule. How this vindicates the rule of law. You're arguing not anything you have, any right you have. You're arguing the right of these creditors to sue you. Seems odd.
Well, actually, I don't want the creditors to sue me any, Your Honor, but I know that Mr. Moreland didn't own this lawsuit at the time of filing the motion or the certification, and we have a lot of case law that says that from Davis.
Well, it seems kind of an absurd technicality, doesn't it? Why should you, the defendants, benefit from this slip-up, from the fact that if the bankruptcy court, or the trustee, I guess, if the trustee slipped up and didn't cross his T's and dot his I's, then he may have hurt the creditors. But why should you benefit from the fact that the trustee wronged somebody else?
Well, I don't know if I benefit. They've already...
Oh, you want to benefit. You want to get the suit dismissed.
Well, they've refiled the action, and we are entitled to the rule of law, too, and the bankruptcy rules are very clear.
No, you're only... Forget the rule of law. You're only entitled, generally, parties are only entitled to urge their own rights. They're not entitled to urge the rights of third parties, especially when the third parties are their own antagonists.
Well, the third parties, we're not urging their rights. We're just saying that there's a primary rule of law that one must own something before they can
And you
sue.
Say this suit has been refiled?
Yes, it's already been refiled.
By whom? By another?
By the same plaintiff attorneys and their proposed substitute.
So they have a new class representative, is that it?
The same representatives that they proposed to be substituted is filed in the same...
What do you mean, the same? It's not Moreland again.
No, it's not Moreland. He hasn't...
They found someone else. Is that what you're saying?
They found three other people.
And do you have a statute of limitations defense?
We may have for some of the claims.
Have, right, yeah.
We may have some
so
of the claims.
It's not just a technicality here.
Well,
you're relying on a technicality in the hope of destroying their case.
As they're relying on what they say is a technicality in the way the contracts were drawn. We're drawn in order to bring this suit. We're entitled to the rule of law on one side, as they may or may not be entitled to rule of law on the other side. And all of the cases that we have cited clearly indicate that you can abandon a claim.
Well, there's never been a case like this, actually.
Well, there have been a number of cases where...
Never been a case, apparently, where a defendant used some technical screw-up in a bankruptcy proceeding to try to get rid of a suit against him.
Well, I don't think it was a technical mistake of the trustee. I think it was Mr. Moreland failing to put his claim on the schedules. There's an Indiana case, there's a Utah case, and a Pennsylvania case where lawsuits that were attempted to be filed, one was a Fair Debt Collection Act, another one was a lawsuit on the sale of lawsuits, there was one on reaffirmation, and the defendants in each instance said, no, those belong to the bankruptcy court, the bankruptcy trustee, all for the benefit of the creditors, and in each instance the court said, you've got to particularly follow the bankruptcy law, and if you do not schedule it, it cannot be abandoned. As a matter of fact, we've got a trustee writing a letter who didn't even have authority to do that. He had already been...
Okay, so he hurt, maybe hurt the creditors, and they would have a remedy against him, wouldn't they?
Perhaps they would have a remedy against them. I
have. Why should you benefit? I don't understand.
Well,
you haven't been hurt.
I think I have been hurt if the law in town...
Well, you don't care whether Moreland sues you or some other one. Someone else sues you.
Well, could we turn that around? If Mr. Moreland really wanted to do this right, all he had to do was reopen his bankruptcy, put it on the schedule, and then give notice to the creditors, and they either said they wanted it or they didn't want it, and then it could have been properly abandoned or the creditors could have pursued it. But through all these proceedings, he's resisted doing that.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks he can skirt right around the law on those issues. A very simple remedy. He just doesn't want to do it. Why? I don't know.
Well, it's too late. You're going to hit him with a statute of limitations.
Well, it's a matter of perspective, Your Honor. We do have the case law, and bankruptcy is statutory, and it's very clear if you do not put it on the schedule in the cases that have been decided that you can't deem it to be abandoned. In one case, the trustee even filed an affidavit saying he abandoned it after it was closed. That's not good enough. You've got to follow the bankruptcy procedures in order to get the benefits of bankruptcy. This is tantamount to bankruptcy fraud when you don't put it on the schedule. You could take $1 million and forget to put it on the schedule and then later claim after the elapse of time, well, that's mine now.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Kenzo.
Thank
Delay.
You.
Does he have any 2 minutes?
The case is cited by Mr. Kinzer relating to the failure to schedule an asset do not involve, as this case does, a case where the debtor tells the trustee at the creditor's hearing, I've got this claim. So he did disclose it, Your Honors, unlike those cases. And unless there are questions, we will wait for the rebuttal.
Did he disclose it specifically, or did he, as your opponent says, simply say, well, I think someplace out there I've got a class action pending?
Somewhere in the middle of those two possibilities. What he said was, and it's on tape, is that I believe I'm a plaintiff in a class action lawsuit against some insurance companies. The trustee did not ask any follow-up questions. That was the only case Moreland was involved in at the time. So that was the nature, Your Honor, of his disclosure in
it
July.
It was some insurance companies.
Correct, that he formerly worked for. He did add that as well.
And And there were no questions or anything by the creditors, but the creditors were present at that.
The creditors were given notice. I don't know who was present,
who was
Judge.
Present.
They had an opportunity to be present.
And then do you have cases that support that that's sufficient notice?
Judge, I would look to Section 102 of the Bankruptcy Code, which defines notice. The Trimline case from the Seventh Circuit, which is referenced in, I believe it's Appellee's brief, explains 1102 and says that notice in a hearing for purposes of 554 abandonment is whatever is appropriate under the circumstances of the case. So you look at the trustee's knowledge and whether or not what he did was appropriate in light of the circumstances. There's no formal got to have a notice in every case. It depends on the circumstances. Here, by the way, after the statement of abandonment was filed by the trustee, nobody objected. The record contains no evidence that any creditor filed an objection, which they had a right to do.
And that certainly went to the creditors, that statement of abandonment by the trustee. He made sure the creditors got that.
It did, Your Honor, and then the Bankruptcy Court approved that process on the 21st of September, 99.
Is there any suggestion of what Moreland's claim is worth?
We haven't really proceeded to it. Our case is bifurcated, Judge Posner. We first will try liability, and only if we get over that hump will we deal with damages.
Well, what is Moreland asking for? Not in terms of amount, but what is his complaint? That he didn't get proper commissions or something?
No. Principally, it is that he should be entitled to receive those employee benefits which were offered to other employees of these defendant companies and which he was eligible for pursuant to the plan language.
So would these be pension benefits? Or?
They would be pension benefits, cafeteria plans. There's a variety of things that the companies offered. Obviously, he'd have to meet the eligibility requirements, but he wants what the other employees have.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much to both counsel. Last case for argument.